culturally and linguistically diverse communities, or CALD communities for short, are left out of disaster and crisis management due to language and cultural divide. Researchers at QUT have undertaken a project to use storytelling techniques, often familiar with CALD groups, to more effectively transfer information and protocols before, during, and after disaster or crisis. Team lead on the project, Associate Professor Jenny Howe, says utilizing storytelling crosses cultural barriers, much like music, and can greatly help throughout the whole process. The Wire's Zachary Prober spoke further to Associate Professor Howe about the project.
People often think the primary barrier is language, and yes, that's part of the problem. However, our research reveals that the challenges go much deeper. For example, some disaster communication messages are either too complex or too vague. So even when people get warning messages, but still don't know exactly what to do next. And another big gap is that the messages often lack cultural connection. Yes, of course, they inform and update the disaster situation, but they don't necessarily always engage with people's values, experiences, or trusted networks. And when CALD communities are represented in the media, they are often portrayed as victims, which overlooks the cultural knowledge and the resilience they already have. And that's a missed opportunity to build on those strengths.
How is your research at QUT looking to solve these kind of issues then?
There's no easy fix, but our approach was to bring CALD communities and emergency management professionals to the same table and co-design solutions. We kind of tried to, it's about blending two things, scientific guidance and cultural appropriateness into emergency communication that actually works for people. For example, with long co-design and co-production workshops where community members and policymakers mapped out local service networks and created practical resources like ecosystem maps so people know exactly where to get help in the emergency. It's not us telling communities what they need. It's really about working with them to create tools they can actually use.
How long did this research take, and how soon are you looking at implementing those recommendations?
Our project began in early 2023 and has been running for almost 3 years. We've just launched our report, toolkit, and the resources publicly, and now the focus is on putting them into action. For example, I have already started working with Get Ready Queensland, the state's peak body for emergency management and disaster risk education, by integrating our research findings into local action plans. And also, I'd like to take this opportunity to invite councils, multicultural organizations, and community groups to use our open access toolkit and the resources. The goal is to see these resources in the hands of people who actually need them and can bring them to life. The sooner, the better.
Were there any takeaways that you saw throughout this process that really could be applied to, I suppose, non-CALD communities?
Even though our work focuses on the multicultural or CALD communities, the principles can benefit everyone and every community. Resilience is stronger when it's shared. For example, one key takeaway from our project is the importance of embedding humanity into disaster resilience by recognizing the universal human needs, rights, and well-being in disaster situations, regardless of cultural or linguistic differences. And that also means understanding humanity means we need to advance inclusion in a systematic level, and also see diversity as a strength and build trust and connection across all communities. The more we understand each other, the better we can work together in a crisis.
That was Associate Professor Ginny Howe speaking with The Wire's Zachary Probert.